are true to themselves, much as Randolph had said they would succeed in this war. These are both men who had a very good understanding of the role geography would play, and I think that we should pay attention to them and to others who realized the intimidating nature of trying to enforce the North's will on the Confederacy. Let's just look at some of the geographic features beyond the sheer size of the Confederacy that we need to keep in mind. Start with the coastline. The Confederate coastline ran for approximately 3,500 miles. It's enormous. And in that 3,500 miles were nearly 200 mouths of rivers, inlets, bays, and other places where vessels could move in and out. Vessels to bring goods into the Confederacy, vessels to take goods out of the Confederacy. It would be very difficult for the North to blockade that huge coastline. And of course, blockade it is what they sought to do from the very beginning of the war. They never succeeded in really sealing off the Confederate coast, although they became much, much better at it as the war went on. The Union Navy did as the Navy grew. The Appalachian Mountains were a daunting barrier that frustrated the Federals from shifting effectively strength from east to west or from west to east, at least until William Tecumseh Sherman moved into Georgia in 1864. The Shenandoah Valley of Virginia, the famous Valley of Virginia, formed a protected corridor that Confederate forces used repeatedly. Confederate troops could move across the Blue Ridge into the Shenandoah Valley and march northward down the valley, cross the Potomac River, sheltering themselves in the gaps of the Blue Ridge to their east, and find themselves across the Potomac to the right rear of Washington, in the rear of Washington, in a position to menace the United States Capitol. In contrast, Northern forces marching into the Shenandoah Valley and marching up the valley found themselves getting farther and farther away from the Confederate capital of Richmond and from key military points in the eastern part of the state. So the Shenandoah Valley worked very nicely for the Confederates as a military avenue of advance. Rivers would play a key role in the war, because rivers were a wonderful way to move men and material, especially in a country, the South, and I'll talk more about this in a minute, that didn't have a really well-developed network of roads or a railroad network that would hold up during the war. So the rivers were important. Which way did they go? Would they form barriers or would they form avenues of advance? And here, the geographic plus goes partly to the North and partly to the South. Kentucky made a huge difference here. Had Kentucky become a Confederate state, the Confederacy would have enjoyed the enormous advantage of having the Ohio River as a barrier. They could have arrayed their forces south of the Ohio River and disputed northern crossings of that tremendous artery. But Kentucky didn't go with the Confederacy, and the North retained access to two absolutely critical rivers, the Cumberland River and the Tennessee River. Which both flow into the Ohio River. They're within about a dozen miles of one another, and they lead directly into the heartland of the Confederacy, both of them. The Tennessee River plunges through Middle Tennessee, dips down into northern Alabama, and then makes its way over to Chattanooga. The Cumberland River flows again into the heart of Middle Tennessee and to the Tennessee capital of Nashville. Both very important axes of advance for United States military forces in the Western theater. Very difficult to defend against those kinds of advances. Those rivers, a definite plus for the North, as was the Mississippi, of course, which plunged all the way through the Confederacy, really cut the Confederacy in two, and offered enormous opportunities for the North to employ its naval and army strength in joint operations along the Mississippi River. So in the West, the rivers favor the North. In Virginia, it's more problematical. There, the rivers flow generally west to east or northwest to southeast. The four major rivers in Virginia, of course, being the Potomac, which is the frontier early in the war. Then you drop down to the Rappahannock, flows through Fredericksburg, and then the York, and finally the James, which comes from western Virginia through Richmond and then flows on down to the southeast. Now, each of those could be used as a barrier to northern advances if the northern advances were coming overland, as they often did during the war. And Lee made use, and other Confederate commanders did as well, of each of those rivers.